Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, now also podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter Duraglia, your co-host, and joined, as always, by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history here at Mohawk College.
You know, I do love it when you say illustrious. I sound so special when you say that. But you know what, Walt? Actually, we do have a special guest today as well.
We do,
have
Chris.
A third party in the room today. And I'd like to introduce Glenn Kay. He is a writer of the zombie... what is the exact title of the book, Glenn?
I can tell you're a fan.
I am a fan. I actually own the book.
It's Zombie Movies, The Ultimate Guide. By Chicago Review Press, yeah.
Zombie Movies, The Ultimate Guide. I'm sorry, and I cut you off. What was it? Published by who?
Chicago Review Press.
Chicago Review Press. And now this is available to, like...
In bookstores,
and Amazon and stuff like that.
Absolutely, you can get it on Amazon. You can go into your Indigo or Chapters and ask for it. They should have it.
All right. Well,
if they don't, they're suckers.
And any comic shop worth its mantle should be carrying.
Absolutely.
Great. Yes.
Well, we're gonna get to talking to Glenn a little bit further on the show, but right now we're gonna go with our usual comic book news and new releases for the week.
Right. Well, Chris, as you know, today is Wednesday, and new books hit the stand. And like every week, we like to point out a few. Chris, today, Punisher number 10 hits the stands.
Okay.
Now, I think this is probably the, 17th incarnation of Punisher?
Punisher number 10 to me doesn't mean anything because there's 18, 25 different incarnations of the Punisher comics. So maybe they're really at 100 or 200. I don't know. So
I think what they should do with the Punisher, though, because Punisher... it's all graphic novels. Punisher is graphic novels. Punisher, you're telling a story.
Yeah.
And number 29 matters not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what matters is it's number 5 of the 6-part story.
So you're saying just release them as a graphic novel?
No. Release them as miniseries, every one of them.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Totally. Yeah,
release
I
them as miniseries. You get rid of this, volume 9, number 10 type of thing.
Right,
so.
I agree, yes.
But does Marvel agree? That's the key.
Probably not.
Guardians of the Galaxy, number 19, hits the stands
today. Is that comic still out?
Well, a new one. Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, in the 70s, I'm old.
Yeah.
And I liked Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, if you're saying you liked Guardians of the Galaxy, name me one character from Guardians of the Galaxy from the 70s.
Diamond Head.
I'm pretty sure Diamond Head is not one of the characters.
You got me.
All right. Moving right along.
But, I did like Guardians of the Galaxy.
I believe you.
In honor... Oh, hold on. Gru. Have you ever read Gru?
By
Sergio Aragonés?
Aragonés.
Yes. The Hogs of Hoarder, number 1, hits the stands today.
And what is it, Gru comic?
Yeah. It's a Gru comic, and it's put out by Dark Horse. So Dark Horse now has Gru.
Right.
And it's first of an ongoing series, I believe. It's obviously the humor genre. But Gru has been at Marvel...
Well, yeah, Gru was at Marvel and then at Epic.
And now he's over at Dark Horse.
Yeah, he's been at Dark Horse for a little while now.
Oh, has he?
Did that start up, late 80s, I think? Because I used to buy Gru.
Even earlier 80s.
Early 80s,
mid 80s, somewhere around there, yeah.
Now, what the premise of Gru is what? He's some sort of barbarian that just wreaks havoc.
Pretty much.
It was like a Conan kind of parody.
Parody of Conan. Well, Gru fans rejoice.
Biting satire.
The Hogs of Hoarder, number 1.
Stick it to Conan.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
In honor of our guest today, Blackest Night number 4 of 8 hits the stands today. And Blackest Night is kind of a zombies book.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's not because he likes black exploitation movies. It's because,
I do.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, it's about zombies, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
And so Blackest Night, and then now there's a legion of fans looking
forward to
this book.
For sure.
This is, at our store, the best-selling book of the month.
Absolutely.
All right, Chris, because we have a guest, we're cutting it off there, and we're going to jump right into some industry news.
Industry news. Okay, what do we got going on?
All right, Nickelodeon. Guys familiar with Nickelodeon,
sure.
That children's TV thing?
Yeah, don't they do like SpongeBob SquarePants?
Exactly,
they do.
Yeah. They bought Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They bought them outright for $60 million.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I wish I had $60 million.
Yeah, well, all you had to do was invent TMNT. So the problem is, I guess what I'm reading on the net is originally TMNT, they were kind of, they weren't for kids.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
And
In fact, they were quite gory to begin with. There's a lot of blood and violence.
So Nickelodeon now has the property, and they have to kind of, well, they already have in a way, but they have to lean everything from now on towards kind of Saturday morning cartoons.
Well, yeah. When when Archie bought out TMNT many years ago, and then they had the TMNT cartoon, right? It was all very, very kiddie, and you know, each of the turtles had their own bandana with a different color.
You're right.
Figure out who Donatello was.
Well, obviously, Nickelodeon thinks TMNT, the property, is worth $60 million, so we'll see where that takes them.
If only it's as good as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, then I think we're on to something special, right?
Now, was that the one with Vanilla Ice?
I believe so.
Right. Nice. How can it go wrong?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, happy birthday to Asterix Obelix. 40 years old.
You know, your obsession with Asterix and Obelisks is a little scary.
First, it's not an obelisk. It's Obelix.
Obelisk.
Okay. Secondly, I can proudly say that this summer I was at the Asterix Obelix theme park in Paris.
Wasn't the obelisk in 2001?
That was the obelisk.
Oh, sorry.
Never mind.
I'm still amazed that there's a theme park.
Yeah, it was a theme park. It was like Disney. It was like, I would say half the size. Like about half the size. It was somewhere between Marineland and Canada's Wonderland, right in the middle there. It was like a good-sized theme park, and everything was Asterix Obelix. It was just amazing.
How do you say it again? Obelix?
Obelix, yeah.
Okay. I can never seem to say it properly.
All right. Anyway, October 1959, the first Asterix Obelix comic was introduced.
Did you have a little birthday cake for yourself?
No. But album number 34 is being released. Actually, was released in Paris last week. They're having a week-long events in Paris over this new release.
Really?
They're having lectures in the, what's the school called? The Sorbonne? In Paris, like the big university.
Sure, okay, yeah.
Yes, and I got an inside tip that head of security will be none other than the Chief Inspector Clouseau.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. I'm glad you laughed at that joke because that was
great.
Terrible.
Was that planned right from the start?
No. Oh, okay. That came to me after.
Thank goodness.
Okay, again, in honor of our guest, Stephen King bites into comics. So word is now that Stephen King will be writing, like from scratch, a new creation, an American vampire tale comic book.
Just for comics.
Just for comics.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And each book will be 600 pages long.
Yes. Yes.
With heavy, heavy description.
That's right.
Not counting the cover.
Yeah.
That should be coming out in March 2010. And I think his vampire is called Skinner Sweet, a bank-robbing, murdering cowboy of the 1880s.
Wow.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, I really don't know what to say about that.
Right.
But you know what? The only thing I will say is that all the Stephen King fans who have been buying the Dark Tower comics, clearly they're fans of Stephen King's writing, so I'm sure they're going to like something like this.
Right. There's news. Two librarians in Kentucky last week were fired because they refused to let two 11-year-old girls sign out League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Well,
the librarian said that it amounted to porn.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Yes.
Really?
The school stepped in and said, you know, it's up to the parents to decide what my children are reading, children are reading, and not up to you.
Well, I mean, the thing is, there is a lot of violence in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Well, there's nudity, too.
And there is nudity, and I believe there is some sex.
Yeah.
I don't know about porn.
But 11-year-old girls.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah.
What's that, grade six?
Yeah, that's a little bit harsh.
Yeah.
I don't know if 11-year-old kids should be reading that stuff.
Neither do I. So I can almost sense now the backlash now.
Yeah.
The Christian group backlash.
For sure.
And they'll get their job back by probably double the pay next
year. Yeah, absolutely. You did a great job.
Or they're going to go on like Larry King or something.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
That.
Yeah. Okay. Or Oprah.
What else do we got? Wizard World Toronto. We announced a few weeks ago that they had bought
The Toronto show.
The date for the first show has been announced.
Okay.
And that will be March 26th to 28th.
Okay.
Three-day show. Yeah, the Direct Energy Center, which is the C&E Grounds.
Right.
C&E Grounds. Now, Wizard is banking a lot. Like, they've been aggressive. They've bought out a New York show.
Yep.
And now they bought out the Toronto show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what do they still have? They have Philly, they have Chicago.
They have a Chicago show.
Yeah. They have a Chicago show, yeah. Right.
As you and I said, we went to the Chicago show last year, or this past summer, and there's something a little bit different about it.
Well, I thought it was still a healthy show. It had a good gate.
Absolutely. Right? It was just something was missing. I enjoyed the show, but I felt something was missing.
Well,
I still was there for all 3 days because, you know, I'm a nerd, but... Hey, what can I say?
Right. Well, I think in the convention community now,
yeah,
there are two big players.
Yes.
And we're at the stage right now where both of them are dishing out the money to try to kill the other one.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Well, you and I were talking the other day how there's going to be a show where it's on the same day in New York.
Right. Well, that's the Wizard. I guess that Reed Conventions,
yeah,
plans a big, huge New York show in October of next year.
Right.
And that was already booked, say, we knew of that 4 months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And Wizard, last week or 2 weeks ago, when we said, they announced that they're going to do the show on the same weekend.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So,
yeah,
basically, it's a war. Yeah. One of them will win, one of them will lose. Yep. And basically, whoever has the deeper pockets, I'm not sure.
Right, right. Okay.
All right. Okay. Chris, we're going to end industry news right there because we're going to move on to our main feature.
Yes.
And that, of course, is young Glenn beside me here.
Yes, Glenn Kay.
Thank you. Nobody's called me young in a while.
Oh. Thanks. Well, that's because Walter's a little older, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Glenn.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming. And, you know, it's Halloween next weekend, and so we thought it'd be a great idea to have you on the show. Glenn Kay is, of course, the author of Zombie Movies, The Ultimate Guide to Zombie Movies. So
that's right.
I have a copy right here.
We have a copy in the studio. And so, Glenn, I got to ask you, like, first of all, where did you get your idea to start writing this? And secondly, do you want to be a zombie?
This is actually my second book. I wrote a book previous to this called Disaster Movies with a very, very long subtitle that I'm not even going to go into because it would take me a minute to say it all.
All right.
But, I wrote a book about disaster movies because I was interested in movies. I've been to film school. I've studied film. And so I decided, well, you know, I'm going to write a book on something nobody's written about.
Cool.
And I picked disaster movies. And, found a publisher in Chicago.
Right.
And they were really great, and they put out a great product. There's also a Canadian edition of the book, which I do not recommend you pick up.
Because
there was problems with the layout and design.
Right.
It looked like it was laid out and designed by a 6-year-old.
Oh. Right.
So I got upset, and then...
Right.
And so for my next book, which is based on zombie movies, I was inspired just by my love of horror movies that I've had since I was a teenager.
Right, right.
And, they were the same publisher, Chicago Review Press, the U.S. one. They were... very excited about the idea, and so I sold them the worldwide rights to my manuscript or what have you.
Okay, right.
The rest is history. The book came out technically last October, but it's still the most up-to-date guide out there.
Awesome.
Excellent. Awesome. Now, great. On the back of the book, says...
Hold on.
I'm sorry, Chris. Oh, right.
Second part of the question? Oh. Second question?
Yes.
Do you want to be a zombie?
Not particularly,
all right,
no.
Just checking.
No.
Okay.
I just like the movies.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I thought maybe there was some weird love going on here. But anyways,
No.
Listen, on the back of the book, it does say that there are nearly 300 zombie films reviewed.
Yes.
No, you possibly could not have watched all those.
If there's a rating next to the movie, I saw it at least once.
Good Lord.
It took a couple of years to to write and research this.
Is there
book.
A point where you're just going, oh my God, do I have to sit through this?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was enthusiastic, but by the end, by the time I had finished, you reached burnout.
Right, right.
I'll be honest, I hadn't, because the book came out last October, and then I really didn't see any zombie movies for a year or so.
Right. Withdrawal.
You could call it that.
Yeah.
You could it's just one of those things. You've had enough for a while, and you walk away, and then... but now I'm
getting back
catching up,
it.
And,
right.
Yeah, getting back into it again.
Now, with this book, clearly you have all kinds of different zombie movies in it. Now, was there any zombie movie that you watched that you thought to yourself... this is, like, atrocious. Like, nobody in their right mind should ever be watching this.
Plenty.
Oh, all right.
About half of these.
Yeah,
I bet half.
That's true. It's like every other genre.
Right.
There are more bad movies than good movies. The one that's, like, popping into my head right now, I think it's Mansion of the Dead.
Okay.
And you can check in the index to make sure I've got the title right.
Hold on, I'm going to look that up right now. Hold on.
Yeah, it's a Spanish...
I just saw Spanish somewhere. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, you know what? Chris has mentioned to me that half the porn movies he's seen, he's hated.
So that's not true. As well. That is so, not
so
true. When the
book yeah, you're right. Out, you loved every one of
that's
them.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. But anyway, that was a book, or that was, excuse me, a movie from the 70s, I believe.
Okay.
Now, have you read Marvel Zombies?
I haven't, actually.
No?
Really?
I'm aware of it. And you know what the thing is? The only comic that, again, and this is due to me just maybe being burnt out for a little while, I have caught up and watched, or read some of The Walking Dead, which is
right.
awesome. Which
I
is
heard.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it, or I haven't read any of those books.
Right, right. Are well, they... I mean, in the comic industry, the standard is The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead are the ones to read, and they sell by graphic novels by literally by the hundreds, right? And mm-hmm. at each shop, so. Mm-hmm. But the thing about them is no. Yeah, but the hundreds, right?
Hundreds in general.
Yeah.
Hundreds
but
in
the
North
thing
America.
Is, though.
Wow.
Well,
what a hit!
I know, hey, wow! It's more, probably more than a book sold, right?
No,
the book's doing well.
That's so, good. Yes, I'm glad to hear that.
Now, Mansion of the Living Dead, is that the one you're talking about here?
That is the one. Excuse me for forgetting the living.
That's
part
all right.
Of the title.
That's all right. So, but it says that it's basically a big sex romp and something about Satan in here. And
there's Satanists.
They're
nudists. They're nudists at a hotel. Who sit around in the, you know, nude naturally because they're nudists.
Of course.
And sit around having casual conversations, and then there's some Satanists and some zombies thrown in, and it's
right.
It's really painful.
Now, you know what's cool is Chris and I personally know a guy that's been in like 20 zombie movies. John Miori.
I know him as well.
Now, you know John? Now,
I interviewed him. He's in the book, believe
is he in
or
the
not.
Book?
Yeah.
Now, that boy has been in, he's been a zombie, you know, he's been eating guts, like, since, I don't know when, but, now, have you ever been in a zombie movie as an extra, like John
was? I was with him on Land of the Dead.
Nice.
Oh, really?
So
nice.
I'm in there as well in that movie, if you look in closely in a few scenes, and I was there on a different night for Survival of the Dead.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Now, do you send the stills like to your mom just to show her you're in a movie?
You know what? I showed her the scene or two that I appear in, which
cool.
I mean, they love movies too,
right.
So
right,
it's all
right,
good fun
right,
to them.
Right, right.
It's not
that's
a
awesome.
Big deal, but those are the only two right now. John
right.
is the you know
he's the king,
the
kingpin
king,
right. of zombie.
King
now it seems to me that they film all zombie movies in like the Hamilton, Toronto area.
Yeah, it's part of the, you know, just the economy. It was cheaper to film in for a long time in Toronto, so...
I thought maybe it was because Hamilton looked like a war zone, and, you know... It's
right.
Just,
you know...
Dilapidated,
if you go downtown, yeah...
yeah.
That's just your neighborhood, Chris.
Hey, you know what? I like my neighborhood. Thank you very much.
But, it's partly to do with economic reasons, and, locations.
Right,
if
right.
they see something that they right. like that looks, you know, right from the movie, then... And they're shooting another one here again. They're shooting the next Resident Evil movie.
Oh, cool.
And they're shooting it in 3D.
Oh, are they really?
And I know people who, you know, are crew people, and
right,
I get all
right.
the inside word
right.
on what's going on.
Have you ever wanted to direct your own zombie movie?
You're pretty well write one, though, I'd imagine.
You know what? Yeah, I you know, you think about it, definitely.
Sure.
So, yeah, somewhere down the line, I'd love to.
Now, I don't want you to give any of your secrets away, but if you were to write and direct a zombie movie... What would the premise be besides people becoming zombies?
Oh boy, see you know that I would want to do something different,
right?
And so many movies in there. It seems like I'm sure every filmmaker who's made a zombie movie thinks I'm doing something so original.
Right,
nobody's
right,
ever
right.
gonna
revolutionary.
Right, right,
and
right.
I can always find like 10 other instances
sure,
in
sure,
history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I got to be very careful. I don't know exactly what I would do
right
now,
okay.
but believe me, I'm working on it.
Has there ever been like a zombies in outer space thing or like,
You know, in the 50s, there were a lot of, you know, to go back to the history of zombie movies in the 30s, it was always like a voodoo master who was controlling the zombies.
Right.
And in the 50s, it sort of changed and suddenly it was all about aliens controlling the zombies
right,
or taking possession
right,
of
right.
them.
Plan 9.
So definitely, I mean, aliens and zombies are a big mix, and those movies from the 50s are so much fun that they're great. I highly recommend them.
So what exactly is a zombie?
It's evolved and changed over the years. Like, initially it was all from Haitian folklore.
Right. Voodoo.
Voodoo.
Right.
And
for they're dead.
It's sort of a gray area. There's sort of It's really just a chemical, but some movies, depending on... Everybody plays fast and loose with the rules. In some movies, they're dead. In some movies, they're just under the control of a voodoo master.
Right.
And then as we progressed into the 50s and 60s, since, you know, the science fiction was so popular then, and of course the Cold War.
Yeah.
So that influenced a lot of movies from that era. And then in the late 60s, George Romero made Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
And suddenly zombies became flesh eaters.
Ah. Oh.
And that movie was so huge that most people's perception of what a zombie is based on that
movie. Sure,
that
movie. Sure.
And from there on, I mean, you still see the odd Haitian zombie movie. You still see some even science fiction-themed zombie movies. And of course today... it's all about viruses.
I think
it goes back to what scares people.
Right.
Because, you know, in the
50s... That's a reflection of the times, right? It's a reflection of the times.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Now, out of all these, like, you just mentioned Night of the Living Dead. Is it that what it is in the 60s?
Yeah, 68. Night of the Living Dead.
What is the best zombie movie? Like, if our listeners, we had to send them out for Halloween.
Okay.
Forget, like, Halloween or Myers or whatever.
Yeah, you gotta find a zombie movie.
Get them a zombie movie. Which ones or two should they see because they're really good?
Well, Night of the Living Dead is fantastic. Dawn of the Dead from 1978 is my personal favorite.
Okay.
Is that the one in the mall?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah,
yes.
Yeah. That's my favorite, too,
Exactly. It's scary and it's funny and there's a whole extra angle of a satire and there's a whole social component to it and social criticism to it.
Dawn of the Dead?
Dawn of the Dead. It's a fun movie.
I liked the Mexican zombie in that one.
Exactly. Yeah, and there's also, you know, characters throwing pies and
I think there's a nun in there, too, isn't there?
There is a nun. There are all sorts of varieties of zombies in that film. And that's a classic.
That's what you need.
Absolutely.
Variety.
Yeah.
But it's also very scary, and it's really, really well made. An independent movie, if you're into independent films, this was financed by the filmmakers, and was a huge international phenomenon. It's a really impressive movie. I have a list at the back of my book, if you should go out and happen to pick it up, of the 25 of my personal favorite zombie movies. So if you pick any of those...
You're
in for a good time. Obviously, the higher up you go, the more guaranteed it is that you're going to enjoy it.
By all means, don't get them all at once.
Now, this is coming from the guy who hasn't seen a movie in 4 years. Okay. Now, if you had to recommend, I mean, granted, I realize your list here, but if you had to recommend a zombie movie, you know, for like an 8-year-old, so, you know, 8-year-olds bugging their parents, hey, I want to see a zombie movie, is there one that you can show kids that isn't quite as gory or isn't quite as scary?
That's a good... You know, nobody's ever asked me that.
Really?
I've done like 100 interviews and nobody's asked me a good zombie movie for kids.
Chris is like Brock Lanahan. He comes up with the good questions.
I'm Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island.
Oh, okay, right.
I saw that. That might be an option
for you.
I did.
They're mostly very disturbing, R-rated movies.
Yeah, but, you know, kids like that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, so, well, that's how I got...
Disturbing R-rated movies?
Yeah.
Or zombies?
Well, when I was 12 or 13, that's when I got into zombie movies.
Sure,
so.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And you turned out fine, right?
Yes.
Good.
But that's the one that's popping into my head right now. I mean, there's a mediocre kind of one that has a few laughs. It's called My Boyfriend's Back, and that was produced by Touchstone, or basically Disney Pictures.
Right.
And that was in the early 90s. It's not a great movie, but it has a few laughs in it, and it has, I believe, Philip Seymour Hoffman in it.
Oh, get out!
Way before he was, you know, Mr., you know, Oscar-winning...
A
superstar.
Right.
So he plays like a bully at the high school. And
interesting.
And it's, again, that's one of very few sort of non-R-rated movies I can think of off the top of my head.
All right, I have a question. For Halloween, have you ever dressed up as a zombie?
Not for Halloween. The only times that I've been dressed up as a zombie were for the movies, for Land, and for Survival. But that's enough. Like, I mean, when you put that makeup on and you're out all night, and then you get home and you have to wash it off,
it's not
a pleasant experience.
No, I'm sure.
They tell you to use shaving cream to get all the gunk off of your face.
Oh,
it's the best. It's the best way to remove makeup.
Oh, really?
But you'll find that, because they've thrown, you know, gobs of blood in your hair and everything. Right. And you're still picking it out, like, days later.
Right.
So it's, for me, I'm old enough that it's not really a fun thing.
Right.
And I appreciate the people who like to go out in zombie walks and do that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, if that's, you know, it's a great social event, and if that's your thing. Fantastic, well, but it's not for me.
They've got that one. Have you ever done that one that's down in Monroeville? They have that zombie walk down there. And it usually coincides with the Pittsburgh Comic Convention as well. So
I was at I was in Pittsburgh last October promoting the book on World Zombie Day.
Oh, really?
And they have a World Zombie Day.
They have a World Zombie Day now. I can't remember the exact date, but I was there doing a signing. It was at the Monroeville Mall, I was there with Ken Forey and a bunch of people from
Leonard Lies and
all the people from Dawn of the Dead and Night of the Living Dead and Day of the Dead even. I was signing books and it was a huge crowd, lots of people, and they all gathered together and I did a little circuit around the mall area. I believe the next morning. So I've seen the Pittsburgh one. I've also seen the Toronto one, which is enormous. The Pittsburgh one, I'm told, has the record for attendees, over 5,000 or something.
Right.
But I say it's a highly questionable.
Right. So the Toronto one is...
I would say the Toronto one is the most impressive.
Really? Is it an annual event?
It's annual now.
That's cool.
This all started,
roughly when do they do it?
This all started in about 2003.
Okay.
And it started very, very small. And this is all due to the recent resurgence of zombie movies. Because there were no horror movies in general even for a while in the early 90s. And then sort of the video games, you know, the Resident Evil stuff started catching on. Yeah. 28 Days Later in early 2003, and then Dawn of the Dead in early 2004.
Right.
And then the Resident Evil adaptations, film adaptations of the video game. All of this sort of helped bring the zombie back.
Yeah.
And I talked to the person who ran the zombie walk in Toronto, and she said first year, you know, it was like a couple dozen people. Last year it was again in the thousands.
Do you think that guys like Robert Rodriguez that did Planet Terror?
Sure.
Do you think that like having these sort of bigger name directors getting involved in zombie type movies does a lot for the genre, or do you think
as long as it's good, right?
Of course. And those movies, obviously they're big studio movies, so they have more cachet. They get more marketing, advertising to them. And a lot of zombie movies are independent productions. It's never been a popular monster with Hollywood until very recently.
Right.
So, it's just, you've seen over time that...
I guess it's probably one of the newest monsters, if you want to call it. The Frankenstein, the Wolfman. Like, it's probably the newest, most enduring monster, even though it's not really a single monster.
And I wonder why it didn't really catch on. They've made movies every decade, but they've never really... Hollywood has always been a little... we don't know what to do with the zombie.
Right.
So usually they either used it... There are movies like Zombies on Broadway from the 40s, or The Ghostbreakers, which had a zombie in it, and it was just sort of schlocky laugh value.
Do you think that maybe it's because there's never been a single... zombie that's ever stuck out in anybody's mind,
you need
with all the vampires, you've got Dracula.
Absolutely.
So maybe there hasn't been a single solitary zombie that has kind of stuck out in people's mind. They'd be like, yeah, do you remember such and such as the zombie?
I think that would be terrible, though. That would ruin the zombies. The premise of the zombies is that they're all zombies, and then
it could be like the zombie leader or something.
Well, it may be part of it. It may be why it took so long for the zombie to really catch on with the film studios and with the public to an extent as well.
Because you're talking a horde, right? You can't make a horde a star.
That's what makes the zombies so great, is that as a horde, and maybe they're not, you know, specific, they don't really have much of a personality. They're really malleable, so they can stand in.
Right.
We talked earlier about all of these issues and the fears that these movies were reflecting in each different decade. And this is... you know, part of what's great about the zombies, you can change it and make it current by tying it into
whatever
fear.
Whatever's scaring people today.
Glenn, we're going to wrap up the show here. Is there anything that you'd like to add about your book or anything like that?
It's got loads of pictures.
Excellent.
I'm looking at it. Awesome.
It does have loads of pictures. And
some color, some black and white.
So if anybody wants to buy it, they can probably order it either at their local bookstore, like a Chapters, or they can get it on Amazon, probably.
Absolutely. Either of those will work.
Now, do you have a website?
Not currently. I should really get on that.
Probably should.
The whole web thing.
Now, are you doing any store signings or anything like that in the near future?
You know what? Not really, but hey, if anybody wants to contact you, like, I'd be happy to come by and sign their book. I live in the area right now.
So why don't you sign the three you brought with us, and anybody emails us, they can have.
You know what? Yeah, exactly. If anybody does want a copy of their book signed, they're more than welcome to email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox@bigbycomics.com. Glenn, thank you very much for stopping
by
today.
Hey, anytime.
I really enjoyed it, and I hope all of our listeners did too. Enjoy the day.
See you next week.
Bye.